Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 270. Today we hear once again from Dan the Art Man, who says, I've heard a lot of authors talk about how they get characters sometimes almost fully formed in their head and they come up with a story around them. Then, while they write the story, the characters, quote, tell them what to do, end quote. And they just write down what the characters are telling them as the story progresses. Man, that sounds nice. I don't struggle with writing, the words always flow, but I only get story ideas or event ideas for stories. I've heard of Scott Card's mice quotient on the Writing Excuses podcast, but sometimes I can't help but be jealous or wonder if I'm doing it wrong when I hear about these other authors who have a character that is totally a real person to them in their heads. That's never been the case for me. I love my characters, and I've cried while writing their deaths, but all of my ideas for books come from an idea or event, never a character. I'm not complaining. I have a document with over 50 ideas for novels. I'm just wondering if you or other authors you know struggle with this, or maybe just what your ideas are on story generation around this topic. Sorry, I'm trying not to be vague. I hope this is a good question for an episode. Do you think I need to be doing more homework to really nail down my characters until they are like a real person to me? Or am I just different than those other authors? Well, Dan, I think the answer might be a bit of both and, which I know it's a little frustrating, so let me try to unpack it for you. You tend to write from characters when you do what Terry Mixon and I were talking about on the podcast, last October, I believe it was, when he was up for a conference in Lincoln City with me. And that is you basically write from your first three premises. You have a character in a situation with a problem. And you set the character loose in that situation on that problem. And the story sort of auto-generates itself out of that mix. It's a really effective way to do things, and it is the way you wind up doing things, I think, when you're writing character-driven stories. Now, the trick is that ultimately all successful stories are character-driven to some extent or another. But the extent to which you can get character-driven in your storytelling is going to have a lot to do with a couple of things about you. One is your innate curiosity about human psychology. Some of us, and with writers I think it happens a lot because a lot of us were picked on as kids, and so we had to learn human psychology out of bare survival in elementary school. And I think it probably does show up in the kinds of stories you're attracted to, both as an audience member and as a writer. If the two of those are in line, then you're probably writing the kinds of stories that you like to read. If you are a fan of high-action stories and you don't like ponderous character pieces, or you don't like characters that get too complicated and the lines get too gray, then you're probably going to be the kind of person who writes very plot-heavy stories, or very idea-heavy stories, and there's nothing wrong with that. There is a great market for it, and there's a great tradition of it. Some of the best science fiction stories ever written, for example, are idea stories that happen to have strong characterization along with them, but they are definitely characters that grow out of the pondering of the idea rather than the idea coming out of the characters. Nothing wrong with that at all. Some of my favorite stories are that way. If, however, you're sensing a disconnect between the kinds of stories you like to consume and the kinds of stories you're writing, it's possible that you have an education gap. You may be very interested in character but find yourself unable to write from character. And if that's the case, a few things that can help you pop to mind. One of them is my ongoing deep characterization series, which I swear I'm going to get back to. I'm currently running around 5,000 words a day on the novel I'm writing, and I'm using all of my characterization chops to do characterization. And when I've sat down to try to continue talking about it, it's been raucously unsuccessful. So once I get this book done in the next few days here, I'll go back to the booth and do the rest of that characterization series so that I won't have it delayed and delayed and delayed again. But the stuff that I've talked about coming up is a good place to start, and that's about developing an academic understanding of the dimensions of human nature and the ways in which character is affected and shaped by different forces in the world, some of them coming from within the person, some coming from without. More important than that, I think, are three areas of study. One of them is philosophy. Philosophy tells you a lot about how people think and what they value. And reading outside of your preferred philosophical school, if you have a well-defined life philosophy, is absolutely essential. Because not only can people with other philosophical points of view educate you on things you may have overlooked or not considered, but you also get a window into the workings of a mind that works very differently from your own, into a value system that you don't share. And the trick to doing really fantastic characterization and having characters that are fully formed in your mind and talk to you is being able to assume the mantle of someone who is not you, to live inside their head. Which brings me to the second thing that is absolutely worth studying, and that is theater. Doing improv, taking acting classes at a local community college, getting involved in a local theater group, doing the drama troupe at church, whatever it is that you can get access to, even reading books on acting, that can really help you hone your skills of playing Let's Pretend and getting into the heads of other characters. There's a bunch of different ways to do acting. Some of them work from the physical, some of them work from the motivational. But all of the schools break down along an important division for the writer, I think. One of them, in one camp you have people who do characterization based on what would I do, think, and feel in this situation. This is Stanislavski's method. You subsume yourself into the character and try to take on their persona as if you were them. And you try to assume their character and whatnot as if you had grown up with their background and having their values and that sort of thing. That's a really important step, but it is limited because the one constant is you. When you are pretending to be someone else, even for gestalt purposes, which is what we're talking about for writing, you are implicitly bringing all of yourself, all of your unexamined self, into that equation. And your unexamined self is vast. And it will limit your characterization because you're play acting based on what your rational mind tells you you might get up to or be interested in this situation or that, or how you might react. The other way is to ignore your own instincts on the issue based on what you would do, and instead observe the reactions of people who have been in those situations, of people who aren't you, who don't share your basic personality type or your home culture or your IQ level, and reading their memoirs and watching their behavior and mapping the ways that they are different from you. And then when you go to assume the mantle of a character in an actorly sort of way, you import their personality, at least insofar as you've been able to adduce and observe it. And that way you get some startlingly original characterizations. In either case, having the character drive the story is basically a form of playing Let's Pretend as a kid. By getting that far into the character's head so that they're telling you what to do, what you're doing is you're, to use a hackerly term, you're running a virtual machine in your head with another operating system that's someone else's personality. And what you want to be doing is putting that virtual machine and running it through your program instead of attempting to figure out what someone like that might want to do. It's a subtle distinction, but it's an important one. It makes all the difference in terms of leapfrogging over the barrier you're encountering. Now, I've said all of this, and I've used some fairly loaded value judgment-y language, because it's my honest judgment, but don't ignore the fact that you're you. You have tastes, you have limitations. I don't know what they are. You probably don't know what the limitations are either, but you do know your tastes. And your writing needs to come from the most authentic part of you that you can access, because that's the part that makes you unique. So what I've just outlined is what I think is important in a characterization process according to my values. That doesn't mean it's going to be the right answer for you. So take what you can out of this that you find useful and throw the rest away. this is me talking about my process. And Scott Card Stuff is another good resource. Scott Meredith talks about some interesting characterization bits in Writing to Sell. And Albert Zuckerman, in writing the blockbuster novel, talks about doing things a little more from the angle that you're coming from. He is Ken Follett's unofficial collaborator, and they tend to write from the outside in, but it's startlingly effective. Ken Follett's one of my favorite novelists. Doesn't write at all like I do. His process is utterly different, and yet he comes out with some fantastic stuff. So check out those guys and take what works. I hope this has been helpful. It was a fantastic question and a pleasure to answer, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.